Luke. Get your Bibles. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 15. Luke chapter 18 and verse 15. Ito ang, kumbaga ito yung kwento na kung saan inilapit ng mga magulang ang kanilang sanggol sa kanilang mga sanggol sa Panginoong Hesukristo upang humingi sila ng basbas sa Panginoon para sa kanilang mga sanggol. At mababasa natin ito hindi lang sa Luke, pati na rin ito makikita sa aklat ni Matthew at saka ni Mark. Merong konting pagkakaiba ang salaysay ni Matthew at saka ni Mark. Kaya dapat kung gugustuhin mo talaga, basahin mo yung buong buo at i-compare ang nakikita mo sa Luke at saka dagdagan mo sa Matthew at saka dagdagan mo sa Mark at makikita mo yung kumpletong larawan ng mga pangyayaring ito. Pero sa ngayon, dahil wala tayong masyadong oras, tingnan natin ang Luke chapter 18 and verse number 15. At sasagutin natin ang tanong na ibinigay sa atin noong nakaraan, saan umuwi ang mga kaluluwa ng mga sanggol kung nabawian sila ng buhay habang sila ay sanggol, no? Marami hong verses ang nagtuturo sa atin ng impormasyon para matuklasan natin kung saan nga umuwi ang mga kaluluwa ng mga sanggol. Alright? At ito ay napaka-importanting pag-usapan natin at napaka-sensitibo dahil napakaraming mga tao ang nakaranas ng hapdi ng kawalan ng buhay ng isang sanggol, no? At ito ay napakabigat na karanasan. And so, this is a very sensitive topic. We know many, many parents who grieve the loss of an infant. But God has a plan and a purpose behind the sufferings. And it is incumbent upon us, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to believe in Him and bring honor and glory to Him in spite of our sufferings, in spite of our grief. We can bring glory to God and God will have the glory in the end. Death is not final. Death will not have the victory at the end of life. When you know the Lord as your Savior, when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, death is a departure, and it's the way to get to the presence of Jesus instantly. And so for the Christian, the best is yet to come. And although we suffer here in this world of sin, God brings us hope and cheer and joy through the Word of God and gives us answers to these types of sensitive questions. Where does a baby's soul go when he dies? Or if a baby dies, what does the Bible say about that? Does the Bible say anything about it? Well, yes, it does. And so we'll look at this. And by the way, these Wednesdays, we're beginning an entire series on Bible questions and Bible answers. And so if you have a question that you would like to know some Bible answers to, feel free to email. Our Facebook page has the email address on it. Kung meron kayong tanong na gusto nyong tanungin, ito ay gagamitin natin ang mga Wednesday nights na sumusunod para sumagot sa mga questions ninyo patungkol sa Bible or espiritual na bagay. Lagay na lang ninyo sa email. Nasa Facebook page namin yung email address at pwede nyong banggitin doon. Titingnan natin ang question at sasagutin natin according to the Word of God. Okay, so unang tanong, saan umuwi ang kaluluwa ng sanggol o ng lahat ng mga sanggol sa oras ng kamatayan? Where do babies go when they die? Well, first of all, in Luke chapter number 18, and this is unique to Luke. Luke is the only one that mentions infants. Matthew talks about little children. Mark talks about little children. But Luke is a medical doctor. And because he's a medical doctor, he puts on his pediatric hat. And he specifically mentions infants. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse number 15. Luke chapter 18, verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants. Infants. Why would parents bring infants to Jesus? Well, the context tells us they want Jesus to bless their babies. And so we encourage parents to dedicate their children to the Lord. Let the Lord bless your children. Let the Lord bless your baby. Let the Lord establish your home. If God blesses you with infant or with many children, allow the Lord to bless them. Bring them to Jesus. Jesus has a special heart for infants. Verse number 15, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. This is the common way of blessing in the Jewish community. The rabbi would lay his hands on them as a way of blessing them, a gesture of blessing them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. The disciples probably thought, no, Jesus has no time for this, you know, and don't bother the master. But they were severely rebuked. In verse number 16, Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for, here's why we know, that infants, little children and infants have a special dispensation of grace. Jesus said, specifically, he literally said, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. So, for such is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is made up of everyone who is saved and infants and little children as well. In God's mind, in the Lord's mind, that is who makes up the kingdom of God. Infants and little children, and he gives them a warning. He teaches us something here. Verse number 17, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. You don't have to be wise and smart. You don't have to know. You don't have to do and be something in order to come into the kingdom of God. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to go to heaven, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. That's the only way anybody will get to heaven. You must be born again. And the only way you can be born again is by the Holy Spirit of God cleansing you with that water that cleanses your sin. And then the Holy Spirit of God producing in you that spiritual life. And the only way that happens is if you turn from sin and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, he already said that the kingdom of heaven is of such for the infants. and for little children. Little children easily believe what you teach them. They receive instantly, and that is the heart of salvation. When you receive the Lord, just believe in Him, trusting in Him. Understanding is good. Weeping is fine. But you're not saved because of the weeping and the tears. You're not saved because of your turning. You're not saved because of your efforts and your hard work and your good work. No, you're saved when you believe on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when you trust Him. And so that's when you get into the kingdom of God, just like a little child believes instantly, unreservedly. And so, very interesting that Jesus said, for such is the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is made up of everyone who is saved, including infants. And so that's the strongest point, that we know that all babies who suffer death are instantly in the kingdom of God, because such is the kingdom of God, Jesus said. There's a testimony in the Old Testament, besides the testimony of Jesus here in Luke, and Matthew and Mark, and the study notes have the passages that you can look at. There's a quote in the Old Testament, the testimony of King David. Go over to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, God judged King David because he committed fornication and adultery with Bathsheba. And as a result of his sin and lie and misery and shame and guilt, the baby died as a judgment from the Lord. And that's so sad when a baby dies. It really is a terrible, terrible tragedy. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse 21. And let's begin at verse number 19. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. This is his baby, just died. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Now notice what David does when he heard that the child, the baby, died. Look at verse 20. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came into his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. He was no longer mourning and grieving for his departed baby. Why? Well, in verse number 22, and he said, while the child was yet alive, while he was struggling for his life, while he was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that my child may live? He prayed, he fasted, he did everything he knew to cry out to the Lord and to ask the Lord to help. But, verse 23, now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Why should I keep on grieving and fasting? Can I bring him back again? Will he come back? No, he will not. He said this, I shall go to him. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And so David understood that this baby went somewhere. His body is here, but his soul departed. And David said, I shall go to him. Now, if you know David, David is that sweet psalmist who wrote Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, David said, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David understood that his dead, physically dead baby, that soul of his baby is in the house of the Lord. And if David is heading to the house of the Lord when he dies, when he departs from this life, he will be reunited with his baby. He'll be reunited with his saved loved ones. Everyone who's born again will be in the house of the Lord forever. And so will his child there. So he's no longer grieving the loss of his baby now that his baby has died. Now, this is the opposite reaction to the loss of one of his sons. He also lost another son. He lost Absalom, his son Absalom, because Absalom was a rebel. Absalom was a complete rebel, did not honor his father and mother, just disrespected them and attempted to kill David, his own father, just to overtake his kingdom. And just Absalom was a power-lustful young man who wanted power and authority and control, and he was rebellish. And so go on in 2 Samuel 18, verse 33. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 33. Notice the difference. When his baby died, he said, I shall go to him. And he stopped fasting and he stopped his grief. But when Absalom, his older son, died, look at the grief that he bare, the heartache that he had. 2 Samuel 18, verse 33. And the king was much moved and went up the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Well, why was David so perturbed about the death of Absalom? Well, it's because Absalom died in his sin. And David understands Absalom is not going to go to the house of the Lord to live there forever. Absalom's future will be in a lake of fire because he is not saved. He did not trust in the Lord. He did not wasn't born again. He did not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And so when he died in his sin. Whereas the baby died in the grace and the blessing of the Lord as a baby. He goes straight to the house of the Lord. But as Absalom here, the older son, he had his opportunity, he had his chance, he had a choice, and he made the wrong choice to rebel and disrespect, dishonor his own father and the God that David loved and served and wrote about. Absalom would have nothing to do with God. And so when Absalom died, it was a total heartache for David. And so here we have the testimony of David. We have the testimony of the Lord. We have the testimony of David. We also know that God has a special heart for infants and for babies that were offered as a sacrifice, a human sacrifice. This is terrible, terrible, terrible sin that parents who don't believe in God would sacrifice their children to an idol named Moloch in the Old Testament. But God has a special heart for those babies that were sacrificed, and he called them his own possession. That's a very interesting thing. God called the babies my children. They were offered by unsaved parents to a god like Moloch, a small god, small g, idolatry. This is idolatry. And yet the Lord lovingly receives those babies into his presence and calls them my children. Look at Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. This is why, another reason why we know that a baby doesn't have to be born in a Baptist home or born in a Christian home. If a baby dies, God receives them. He calls them my children. These are babies that were born in pagan homes, in horrible, horrible homes. Ezekiel, you can't get worse than sacrificing your babies to Moloch. That's a terrible, terrible sin, wicked abomination, just like abortion, an infanticide or partial birth abortion. You know, God hates the taking of blood, the shedding of blood, those little babies are very, very precious to the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 21, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. And so the Lord owns and possesses the children that were offered up as a sacrifice to the fire of Moloch, the pagan practice. So this is a little bit of what God, how God receives children, how God takes them into him and calls them his own. My children, he calls them. And so again, it's a reminder also for us parents, our children is really not ours. They're the Lord's. Our children, God gave us our children so we could give them back to him and dedicate them to him. We don't own them. We don't possess them. They're not our property. They are the Lord's property. And we need to acknowledge the Lord and do our best to lead our children to the Lord, not to the god of this world, not to the entertainment of this world. When God gives you an infant, he purposefully wants you to raise up godly seed. Not just good seed, godly seed, the Bible says. Anyway, there's a fourth reason why we know that infants, when they die, they go straight to heaven. Because of their lack of two things. Here we have conscience and actions. Okay? I want to show this to you. Go over to Psalm 51, for example. Let me begin with the nature of children. Okay? The nature of children is sin. Full. Babies and children and adults are full of sin, even the nice little cute babies. All right? And I've yet to find an ugly baby. There is no such thing as an ugly baby. And Grandma Star, when she was alive, she said, every crow thinks that their baby is the blackest, you know. Because everybody says, you know, there's no ugly baby. Well, anyway. But even though they are little cute babies, they are still sinners. They are sinful in nature. They are naturally sinful. You do not have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to teach a child to cheat and to hurt and to be rebellious. You don't have to teach a child to be lazy. You don't have to teach a child to sin. They just sin naturally because all of us are sinful by nature. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse number 5. Psalm 51, verse number 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. Well, you can't get more fetusy than that. You're shapen in iniquity. Everyone who is born is born in sin. Okay, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Even in your conception, at the very point of conception, you're already a sinner. And that is, you're sinful by nature. So whether you're 1 year old, whether you're newly born, whether you're 100 years old, by nature we are sinful. I'm a preacher, but my nature is I'm a sinful preacher. Okay, the only difference is by Jesus Christ, his blood, I'm a forgiven sinner. I am forgiven by the Lord because of his sacrifice and his blood. And when I believed on him and I trusted in him as my Lord and Savior, he forgave me of my sin. So yes, I'm a sinner, but I am a forgiven sinner. Okay? And so I hope you can say that. I hope you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven. And you can if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you trust in him alone. You're not trusting in religion or sacraments or church your own good efforts. Okay, you cannot help yourself. Okay, only Jesus can help you. And you need to go to him and ask him to save you. And trust in him because he died on the cross for your sins. For your sins. And so, you can be a forgiven sinner if you know the Lord. Okay? Now, little babies don't know better. They have no conscience, or they're not aware of their sinful nature. They have no ability to act sinfully by choice. Okay, so they don't have knowledge. That's conscience or knowledge. You have to have knowledge, and you have to have will or choice. See, when you're a baby, you don't have conscience. No, pag ikaw ay sanggol, wala kang malay. No, kapag ikaw ay sanggol, hindi ka pa pumipili na gumawa ng mali. Hindi mo lang alam kasi sanggol nga, walang malay, no? Walang conscience, walang knowledge. And that's very important in the Lord. Go over to Isaiah chapter 7 verse 15. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 15. Where do babies go when they die? Well, here's the fourth point. Babies are exempt because they do not have knowledge and will and choice. They haven't acted on their sinfulness. They are sinful. They are by nature sinful. But they do not have that capacity of knowledge. And that is accountability that matters to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 15. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 15. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. And so when a child knows to refuse evil and to choose good, when a child comes to that knowledge, when they have a realization of sin, then they become accountable to the Lord for knowing to do good and evil, and choose good or choose evil, or refuse evil and refuse good. Look at John chapter 9, verse 41. John chapter 9, verse 41. This is a very interesting passage here. John 9:41. Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin." Meaning to say, he's talking here to the Jews here. They rejected him as Messiah, and they're without excuse. And Jesus said, hey, if you were blind, if you had no knowledge, no conscience, if you didn't know, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. So when a person has conscience and knowledge, when a young child comes of age where they understand this is sin, this is not sin, this is good, this is evil, when they come to that point, up until that point, they are without, God doesn't hold them accountable for their sin. They have no sin if they were blind or without knowledge or without conscience, didn't know better. And so it's not just the babies that die, that go straight to heaven. This also applies to severely handicapped, mentally severely handicapped children and adults and mentally severely handicapped people. God has does not apply the sin to them. Their sin does not remain because they are unaware, they have no conscience or knowledge of their fact that they are sinful. God withholds from them that accountability of sin. Go over to Numbers chapter 14, verse 31. Numbers chapter 14 in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 14, verse 31. This is an interesting passage again. All of this, of course, is interesting. Numbers 14:31. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. God gave an exemption for the little children to go into the land of Canaan, whereas their grandparents and the older adults, they died and were not able to go in because of unbelief. They didn't believe in the Lord. But the little babies, God gave them an exemption. Your little ones that ye said should be prey, them will I bring in. So God shields them, protects them because of their they are babies. They didn't know any better. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy, right next to Numbers. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. See, they're still infant, they're still young, they're still little. They shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Talking about the land of Canaan. Okay, so that's important. They had no knowledge. They weren't able to be conscious about what's happening. Yes, they have sinful natures, but they have no knowledge of good and evil. And God exempts them. And doesn't judge them and allows them to come into the land of Canaan. It's a picture. This is how God receives infants and severely handicapped, mentally handicapped folks. Look at Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. This is an interesting passage because God does not judge. God sent Jonah to preach repentance to Nineveh because of babies, because of little ones. It's like the Lord wanted to spare the little babies. And for their sake, he sent them a preacher to warn the entire city to repent. And they did. But look at Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city?" This is the Lord sparing Nineveh, "wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle." So who are those persons who cannot discern, who don't have knowledge of their right hand and their left hand? Infants, little children. Now when they come to a point though, when they understand and they realize left and right, sin and good, evil and good, then they become accountable at that point. But until then, God has a very tender heart for those that are without knowledge, without conscience. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 11. Romans chapter 9 and verse 11. Romans 9:11. "For the children, being not yet born," we're talking little babies inside the womb, "neither having done any good or evil." Done. That's actions. That's a choice. That's an action, a motivation of the will. Doing something. They haven't done anything yet. "Any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth them." So God acknowledges little children don't have knowledge, don't have conscience to act upon, don't have a choice, they haven't acted upon or done anything yet as far as morally good, morally evil. And God acknowledges that. Look at Romans chapter 4. In the book of Romans, let's look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 15. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. "Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression." So you can't charge someone if they are no conscience, no knowledge, no actions, sinfulness. Just because they're by nature sinful, that's not sufficient. The law even doesn't even condemn someone without knowledge and will. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 13. Romans chapter 5, verse 13. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." So when a child does not understand conscience and knowledge, actions and will and choice to do evil, they don't understand the law, they don't understand good, they don't understand evil, they don't understand their right hand from their left hand, they just, the Bible says there is no there is no law imputed on them. Sin is not imputed on them. Yes, they are sinful, but sin is not imputed upon them yet until such a point where they become knowledgeable about these things. And when they do become knowledgeable about these things, then when their conscience and knowledge is confirmed by their action and their sinful nature is finalized by knowing and acting or doing, then they become accountable. But until then, there's that special dispensation of grace that the Lord just takes the baby to heaven if they die. There's one more reason why we know that babies go to heaven when they die is because of the book of life. Everybody that is conceived is given life, and everybody's name is written in the book of life. And the only way your name is blotted out, it's blotted out when you willfully sin against the Lord. when you have knowledge and when you willfully choose to sin against the Lord, that's when, if you die, your name is blotted out. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Does God remove names from the book of life? Yes, He does. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 5. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 5. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment. This is talking about he that is born again, he that is saved. When you are saved and you're born again, you are an overcomer. You have to read 1 John chapter 5. But just take my word for that. Look it up later. But anyway, he that overcometh, that's talking about a born again believer, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So if you're saved, if you know the Lord, you will not have your name blotted out, taken out, erased out of the book of life. But at the same time, people who sin and ratify their sinful nature by their own conscience and actions of sin against the Lord, they are condemned. They die in their sin. At the moment of death, they are taken out of the book of life. God removes them from the book of life. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse number 11. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and it slew me. Sin, when you sin willfully, when you take knowledge of that, and you know you're doing wrong, and you did sin against the Lord, it, the commandment, the word of God, the law will heal you. It will slay you. And when you die in that, your names are removed. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Your name is not going to remain in the book of life if you die in sin. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They were cast into the lake of fire. So if you come to the knowledge of good and evil, right and wrong, left and right, if you come to the point where you understand that you are a sinner and that you sin against the Lord, you need to come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Okay, that's the point when you're accountable because of your conscience and your knowledge and your exposure to the Word, and you understand, you know what you are a sinner, and the Lord will forgive. The Lord will bless. The Lord will save if you trust in Him, if you turn to Him. He's ready to save. He loves to save lost sinners. He loves to. That's why He sent Jesus to die on the cross. He sent Him to die because He knew Jesus is the only way a sinner can be saved. And apart from Him, there's no salvation. You can be as good as you want. You can avoid sin. You can try your best to do right. Not good enough. It will not get your name. Your name will be removed from the book of life. If you do not repent and believe on the Lord. Now, this is so. Look at John chapter 3, verse 18. John chapter 3, verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth is condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. So the ability to believe is salvation. And if you reject the Lord, if you do not believe in Him, you say, well, I don't believe in the Lord. You are condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, a little baby, they cannot, they have no ability to believe. They have no ability to disregard the Lord. And so the mercy of God covers them, and the Lord receives them. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. This will be our last verse. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So, when is your sin blotted out? When you repent therefore, and be converted. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior. That's when your sins are blotted out, not your name. Your name remains in the book of life. Now, for the sinfully, mentally handicapped, and the infant, they are totally incapable of responding to the Lord and unaware of their sinfulness. Yes, they are sinful, but they're totally unaware of that. And thus, they are spared from being blotted out of the book of life. But they are justified, they are saved, not because of them, not because of who they are. The babies are saved because of Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we can be thankful for these reasons. And when you look at the scripture, you can see how God loves little infants, little children, and makes provision for them, regardless of who their parents are. Regardless of who their heritage, and regardless of who they are, because of all this, God does not impute the sin upon them, up to the point when they understand right from wrong, left from right, good and evil, and they have a conscious decision to either willfully reject the Lord or willfully believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So hopefully that'll be the answer for that question. Where do babies go if the unfortunate event happens and they die in their infancy? Well, we know that by the grace of God, God takes them up. He takes the lamb unto himself and leads them all the way into paradise, into heaven. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father, we thank you for the great love and concern that you have for little ones, for infants that neither know their left hand and their right hand, how you call them your children, for the simple fact that theirs is the kingdom of God. And the testimony of David, that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and he will go where the baby went. And for the simple facts, Lord, that you do not impute sin where there is no law, where there is no conscience, where there is no knowledge and willful actions of sin against you. That's tremendous grace, Lord. And tremendous comfort for so many who have little ones, Lord, that they love so dearly, that you have called unto yourself so early. And we need to trust in you, Lord, and in your hand in our situations, in our daily lives. Lord, help us to look to you and trust in you and trust in your word and be a testimony to others and lead others to the Savior. We ask your blessing upon this now, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Salamat po sa pakikinig ninyo sa salita ng Diyos. And I pray that this lesson will be a help to you. I know it's a little long, but we are in a lockdown. I mean, it is a pandemic, so I don't feel bad for that one. But God bless you, and thank you for listening.